Miss Cameron, from reading your books, such as Daughters of Copper Woman, we definitely think that you are a dreamer. How did you, in your life, find this appreciation for the importance of dreaming about the future?
I grew up in a really dysfunctional family, lots of drinking and lots of violence, and the inside of my head was the safest place to be. And when I was about 11, I realized that every book I had ever enjoyed reading had been written by somebody. And if somebody else could do it, why not me? And I had the dream of being a writer from then on. And once you've had one big dream and you've worked to make it happen, other dreams are easy.
You yourself are, if I'm right, a Scottish English second generation Canadian.
That's right.
Many of your close friends and married family members are native members of First Nations tribes.
Yes.
How did Canada's native culture influence you and especially your view on dreams?
When I was very young, 11, 10, I met a woman named Klopanam, and she was First Nations, and she was the first truly sane person I ever met. She followed the old religion, and all of her grandchildren had been taken off to residential schools. She didn't have, anybody to cuddle, anybody to tell stories to, and I was very lucky. She just kind of took me over. I think the most important thing she taught me is that we are not special within creation. We are only one part of creation, and a human life is not any more sacred than the life of an animal. She taught me that the most precious gift we have is clean water, and that we should be as willing to defend the clean water and the rest of the earth as we are willing to defend our family members.
Miss Cameron, you have seen, as you just described, you have seen a lot of suffering, a lot of hardship, and I'm sure also a lot of beauty in the midst of it. What have you learned in your own life about the power of dreams, especially as a source of hope and a sense of future for a tribe or even for a larger society or nation?
If you don't have that dream, you will die. Whether you're talking about a person, a small group of people, or a nation, if they don't have a positive, constructive, spiritually healing dream, they will just die. They will just be swallowed by the great American eagle, which has no morality, can't see past the end of its own nose. I mean, this growth of the transnational corporations, North American free trade, the whole cancer totally ignores the fact that the resources of this earth are limited. And they talk about sustained growth. Well, cancer tries sustained growth and it kills its host. And you can't just keep pulling the minerals out of the mountainsides and leaving a mess and expect that it can go on forever. But they don't care. I mean, they act as though they don't have to breathe the air that is polluted. They don't have to drink the water that's been poisoned. And the rest of us, the only hope we have is to dream of a day when all of the water is clean again. The day when you dare go outside and fill your lungs.
Now, when you say that a society or a nation without a dream will die, there are many Europeans who think having a dream also can mean the death for a nation because dreams can tilt over into nationalism that can become dangerous. Where do you draw the line between a national dream and nationalism?
You guys have to stop beating yourselves up, you know. Like the war's over. Auschwitz was liberated 60 years ago. 60 years! And you guys are still beating yourselves up about it as though Germany was the only country in the world that ever went crazy. Well, like, Name one nation on the face of the earth that was willing to take the Jewish refugees. Canada turned boatloads of them back in Montreal. I think we took 12 children. Well, Christ, that's nothing. And it wasn't the Germans who starved the Ukrainians. Millions and millions and millions of Ukrainians starved to death, and they were starved on purpose. And it wasn't the Germans who dropped bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. It wasn't the Germans who filled Stalin's gulags. It wasn't the Germans that were with the United States in South America and Cambodia and Laos. The Germans haven't caused the Palestinian problem, and they didn't cause the Tamil problem. Like, get over it, okay? Nobody is innocent, and you guys aren't any more guilty than anybody else. The whole world was insane at the time. Put it behind you. The kids in Germany today, they had nothing to do with that. And yeah, nationalism is a sickness, and nationalism happens when the dream doesn't exist. If people have a strong, moral-based dream, they won't start, you know, marching off to the Reichstag and putting their arm in the air and hollering, "Long live Hitler." The man was insane.
So you are, to summarize, you're saying the best protection against nationalism is exactly to have a societal dream.
Yes, a morally based dream, a dream where there's, you know, as much room for love as there is for financial profit. Right now, oh, everything depends on the bottom line. We got to, you know, satisfy the shareholders and make a profit and la da da da. No matter what happens to the people, we trample over. And we've got to get past that.
Of course, societal dreams can't be artificially imposed. But with everything that you have heard and learned about Germany in your life, what is your most optimistic dream for Germany's future and its role in Europe and the world?
You know, you guys have got a reputation around the world for making the best equipment, the best machinery, the best cars, the best motorcycles, the best bicycles come from Germany. And my dream is that Germany will set an example and start coming up with the alternate technology we need to wean ourselves off gas and oil. Germany already is leading the way in the development of the technology for wind power, for tidal power. And you've got the population, and you've got the manufacturing capability. And like, I really like to see German industry deliberately pursuing alternatives to the internal combustion engine. I mean, they're playing around with it, but nobody is really serious because there's so much money invested in gas and oil. I think that Germany, out of all of the European countries, has the most to offer and could really lead we call it the European Economic Union, could really lead them into something that is much more hopeful than has been managed so far. You guys, when you're not busy beating yourselves up over mistakes of the past, you guys just sort of, I don't know, you sort of take a look ahead, and yes, that's where we're going to go, and you go. Over mountains, through mountains, around mountains, whatever, you just go. And I really do believe that the technological expertise in Germany can come up with what we need to just, like, stop destroying ourselves. And you guys are the ones that could just step forward and say, yeah, well, you know, here's a solution, and here's another solution, and here's the technology to do it.
Do you think that this is only, in quotation marks, only your view on Germany, or is that a somewhat typical sentiment amongst like-minded Canadian friends of yours towards Germany?
Oh, I don't think it's just me. I'm not that odd. I think that Germany stands around the invasion of Iraq the way Germany just stood up and told W. Bush, you're wrong. I think that opened a lot of people's eyes, because it was a very brave stand. Here's this military juggernaut, and this little guy from Texas stomping around in his cowboy boots, and he said, you're either with us or you're against us. And Germany was the loudest voice saying, we are not with you. I don't think Canada could have stood up to the United States without knowing that Germany and, after Germany, France, was saying, well, sorry, I'm not dancing this dance.
Ms. Cameron, do you think that dreaming is, especially societal dreaming, is in opposition to being pragmatic?
Oh, no, I think dreaming's the most pragmatic thing we can do. Everything wonderful that has ever happened in the world started with a dream. Mozart wouldn't have written his music if he hadn't dreamed about it. Poetry wouldn't be written without somebody sitting there dreaming of a poem. Man, if you don't have a dream, you're dead. You're just too stupid to lie down and rot. You have to have dreams. Dreams are where we get our hope. If we didn't have dreams, why would we have children?
Good question. Let's just assume that a very already embittered teenager walks up to you and says, you want me to have a dream? Come on, you can lie to someone else. What do I do with a dream? I don't have a job. What would you tell such a teenager?
You know, anger is energy. And instead of using the anger to punch a cop in the head or throw a rock through someone's window, use that anger to create your own job. There's all kinds of work that isn't getting done because nobody even thinks about it.
Ms. Cameron, in the process of wanting to dream the future of a nation, there can be the impulse to abandon or to turn away from the elders as if their views stand in the way of progress. And I guess this is not only true for Germany, but for most Western European nations. What do you think about the value of Germany's elders in the search for a new German dream?
Well, they know better than anybody what the mistakes look like. They know better than anybody what the ultimate price of insanity is. And they certainly know better than anybody what apathy gets you. The people who are the elders in Germany now were young people at the time that the craziness started, and they were just exactly the same as young people today. They did not take politics seriously enough, and by the time they did, they were trapped. Here again, where you guys just keep beating up on yourself. All of this rah, rah, rah about, oh, well, I would never have done this, that, or the next thing. I want you to know something. I would not have been standing in front of the gates of Auschwitz saying, stop, stop, don't do this, it's got to stop. I'd have been home with my mouth shut so that they wouldn't grab me and put me in the next boxcar. And the elders in Germany know exactly what the pitfalls are. And they must have had a dream. And they might not talk about it, but they must have had a dream. Or they would have just killed themselves. You know, you have to listen to them about what it was like in Germany at the end of the war. What dream kept them from simply hanging themselves in the barn? There was no food. They were being blamed for everything. The guilt alone must have been enough to send people right around the bend. And they made it through. Because everybody knows you guys are stubborn, right? But they made it through, and so they had a dream. And that dream has put the nation where it is today. And if people listen to those older people, that they still, obviously their dream is still alive. They didn't immigrate. They toughed it out. They cleaned up the mess. Ask them why they did that. And it wasn't because of apathy, and it wasn't because there wasn't room on the boat to take them somewhere else. They'll tell you their dream if you're willing to listen to them.
Ms. Cameron, thank you very much for dreaming with us.
Hey, you be sure to come up to Tassus. We'll take you out salmon fishing. You will not believe it when you see it. We still have clean water. We still have streams and rivers where you can just, you know, dip your cup and take a drink and you don't get sick. And we want to keep it that way.
That is a dream.
That is so.